Luke chapter 11, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Luke 11, verses 1 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. Folks, I cannot wait to preach this morning. I have been itching since 6 o'clock this morning when I got here. I am ready to fly, and I've had two coffees today, so hang in there. Luke 11, verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, saying to him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in a journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being our God. Lord, thank you that we have the privilege of being here. Help us as we preach a truth this morning that could revolutionize our Christian life. Lord, I hope when today is over that you'll look down and you'll say that it was a very important day in the life of our church, because our people will draw nigh to you closer because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Today, I want to give you a truth that I think may be one of the richest truths that you could get. Here in Luke 11, you have something that the world would call the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have ever heard that, you know, Our Father, which art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer? I don't call it that. I call it a model prayer. Say why? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, The disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say, teach them a prayer. This is not a prayer that you're supposed to recite back to God over and over. The Bible calls that a vain repetition. This is an outline for prayer. The disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us a prayer. They said, we've watched you pray, we've watched God answer you, and we'd like to get a hold of God like you do. Would you teach us how to do it? I don't know about you, but to me, one of the most difficult parts of my Christian life was learning how to get a hold of God and getting to answer my prayers. I don't know about you, but it seemed like I was talking to the clouds and no one heard me, let alone answered me. As a teenager, I longed to serve the Lord and be spiritual. I really did. Now, I was not perfect. I know that's hard to believe. I was never perfect, but even as a teenager, I longed to serve God. I read my Bible. I went to church. I went soul winning. I was a bus captain. I saw people saved. But I'll be honest with you, I really didn't see God answer a lot of prayer. When I got to Bible college, prayer became more of an important part of my life. You say, why? I had bills to pay, amen? I began to meet what I consider some of the most spiritual people I had ever known in my life. And I watched them and saw God answer their prayer, and I said, God, I'd like to be a little bit more like that. I began to watch God answer my prayers. I began to have to pray down thousands of dollars for a college school bill and pay my car insurance and keep my car running and get to and from work and all those different things. And I began to pray. You won't believe this, it's true. But in the dorms where we were at college, I lived a few miles off campus, but it was still considered dorms out of Baptist City. Amen, Brother Hawkins? I spent 4 years out there, and I lived virtually within the same room for all 4 years, which doesn't happen very often, but I did. And in our dorms, it was kind of like the old single-floor style hotels. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And they'd have about, I'm guessing, Brother Hawkins, there was 8-9 rooms in each one of those buildings. And in the middle of that building was a little storage room, and it had a washer and dryer. So you had about 60, probably more than that. You'd have 60 to 100 guys that had to share one washer and dryer, amen? You say, was that hard? No, because most of them didn't wash their clothes, so it didn't matter. But I remember I was hitting one of those times where, you know, you were pulling the cushions out of your car seat to see if you had enough quarters to do your laundry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There was no couches around, so you're digging everywhere you can dig. And I literally did not have the money to do my laundry, but my laundry needed done. I had gone to a class that week, and they said, you ought to have enough faith to do whatever you got to have done. I got my dirty clothes. I went next door. I kicked the door open. I opened up the washing machine. I threw the clothes in. I threw the soap in. And I ain't got a quarter one. I said, okay, God, I heard about all kinds of stories. I put my hands on that washing machine. I said, God, I got to get my clothes washed. I started talking to God. I closed the lid on that thing. I pushed the coin thing, and the washing machine started. I said, uh-oh. Wow. Okay. I came back in a while. I took them out. I put them in the dryer. I still didn't have a quarter. Say, what'd you do? I prayed over the dryer. I pushed the button. Guess what? It worked. You say, I don't believe that. I don't care. I do. I was there. I did that I don't know how many times. Now, when I had money, you couldn't do that. I'll promise you. I had quarters in my pocket one day and said, I'm just going to try God. It didn't work. That stink. Now, wait a minute. I learned, even for getting clothes washed, you can pray. I watched God begin to answer prayer. It was time for us to leave college. I graduated, and my wife is a year behind me. She failed a year. No, she's a year younger than I. She's not quite a year younger than I, but she's a year behind me school age-wise. And it was time for us to go work in our first church. You have to understand something. I grew up in Canton, Ohio. I went to a place, to Bible college, we were near Chicago, and I had, you know, the biggest city that I had ever been in is Cleveland or Columbus. Then I hit Chicago. Lord have mercy. Felt like a missionary. And then I left there, and our first church was in Long Beach, California. Amen. We were in the just south of L.A. We're still part of L.A. County. Long Beach is a pretty good-sized city. I'm guessing Long Beach is probably probably about 300, 350,000 people just within the city limits of Long Beach. Maybe even a little bit more than that. But all of L.A. County is 15 million people. I mean, it is wall-to-wall people. It is D.C. on steroids, okay? I mean, it's 7 times the size of D.C. And, I mean, it just sprawls everywhere. The pastor, I was not even working there yet. I was going out there to look at the work, and he and I to meet for several days. I got on a plane at Chicago, and I flew from Chicago to L.A. and L.A. to Long Beach. Landed in Long Beach, and I got off the plane, and I thought I had recognized the pastor, walked over, introduced myself. He said, follow me. We started walking. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I don't have time for a formal introduction. He said, we're going to leave the airport right now. He said, I have a teenage girl that was hit by a car last night. She's dying. We've got to go to Long Beach Memorial Hospital. He said, sorry to do this, but welcome to the ministry. I said, it's okay. We left the airport. We went about, and it's only about 4 or 5 miles 15-20 minute drive because of all the traffic. Got off at Long Beach Memorial Hospital. I had never been in California in my life. I get off an airplane. We drive up the road. I get out of the car. We're going into a hospital I had never been before. He told me the story how she was playing in the street with her family that night, and a ball went out in the road, and she crossed behind a parked car, and a car came down and hit her. 14, 15-year-old girl. I walked in not knowing what I was walking into, and it did not look like she was going to make it. We walked into an intensive care ward, and there was a teenage girl and tubes going in and out of her body everywhere they could put one. Her head was swollen bigger than a basketball. Her lifeless body lay there, and while we were there, the doctors came in and said, look, we need to drill a hole in her head and relieve the pressure off of her brain so it doesn't kill her. The pastor said, we're staying. We're going to pray while you do the procedure. I thought, in here? He said, it's okay, Brother Bush. He said, you stand on that side, I'm going to stand on this side. They're going to work at that end, and we're going to pray for this girl. Oh, my soul. They're drilling in that little girl's head, and they shaved a spot off and drilled a hole in there, and you could hear the pressure relief. And I thought, God, there's no way. And if she does live, what is there going to be? He said, Brother Bush, they say the last thing to go is their hearing. She can hear us. Let's pray. He said, I want you to pray. He introduced me to this lifeless body. I mean, he was talking to her just like I'm talking to you. I said, hi. I don't know what else to say, you know. He said, Brother Bush is going to pray for you. So I prayed. Then he prayed. We walked out. I went back one more time while I was there with the pastor and prayed with her again. Flew back to Chicago, and he had asked us to go work for him. And shortly thereafter, my wife and I loaded up a U-Haul trailer and pulled my car behind it and drove 2,600 miles from Chicago to Long Beach and got into Long Beach and unloaded my car and my truck. Got into the house. The next day, I went to the hospital with my wife. Introduced my wife to a young lady laying in a coma who was still alive miraculously. A little girl named Kim. Oh, every week for the next 3 months, I would go to the hospital and see Kim. No lie. Every week. Sometimes 2 and 3 times a week. One morning, I was in my office. It was late morning, 10, 11 o'clock. The secretary called and she said, Brother Bush, something's happened with Kim. You need to go to the hospital immediately. Pastor said, leave whatever you're doing and go. Say, what'd you do? I stood up and I walked out the door. I thoroughly expected to go and be there as the doctors told them that Kim had gone to heaven. When I came in, she heard my voice. She opened up her eyes. And she said, are you my new youth pastor? I don't know about you, but I had a spell in a hospital room. She said, I've heard you all these weeks that you've been coming. I just couldn't say anything. She said, but I'm back now. About 6 months after that, she came into our Sunday school class for the first time, Brother Logue, walking with a walker. I'll be honest. That was the biggest answer to prayer and doubt that I ever had. I didn't see how that young lady would ever live, but she did. She heard me pray virtually every time I was there. I'll be honest with you. Prayer is still not the easiest thing in my Christian life. I'm just going to be honest with you. I guess it's my pride. I guess, Brother Dan, my pride says I don't need God that much. I don't need to spend that much time for him. but I do want God to answer my prayer. I guess maybe there's times I don't feel like I need to bother God with the little things, like a washing machine or a dryer. But God says, I want to hear all your needs. I began to pray. I still pray. I pray a lot. I've seen God answer countless prayers. I mean that. I've watched babies who were told, parents who were told their baby wouldn't be normal when it was born or wasn't going to be alive. I've prayed and watched God deliver normal, healthy babies, and some of you are sitting in this room right now. I've prayed over sick children and watched God raise them up. I've been with people at near death, watched God heal them. Amen. One little miracle sitting right there on the second row right now. I've seen God answer your needs. I've seen God pay utility bills, and I've seen God make house payments. And please don't take this the wrong way, but God's used me to help pray down millions of dollars, and I'm glad because I got millions more to go. But may I say it, God wants to hear and answer your prayers. I've prayed for people to be saved. I've seen sick people raised up. I've had people come to me to pray for their pets to get well. Say, did you pray for them? Of course. If they were cats, I didn't tell you how I... No, I'm teasing. I do pray. I even prayed for kitty cats to get well. Amen? That's serious prayer for me. I've prayed for God to comfort you when you've lost loved ones. I've asked God to help addicts get off of their addictions. You say, what kind of mechanic are you? Pick up the phone and call somebody that knows what they're doing. But I've been out in places where I've said, okay, God, there ain't nobody here to fix it. I've got to have your help. And I've watched God help me fix cars. I've prayed for people to get jobs and keep jobs. Prayed for God's power in preaching. Prayed for God to change lives. Prayed for people to come to church. You name it, I prayed for it. In over 30 years of learning to pray, I can't begin to tell you how many times God's answered. I can't. I don't know how else to say this. If this appears to be arrogant, I'll apologize in advance. I don't mean it to be. But as a pastor, I have to be able to get a hold of God in prayer. You don't want me to have to prepare three weeks in advance. When the news comes, they're flying her to D.C. Children's. I got to be prayed up. I'm not saying I'm a spiritual man, but I am saying I've learned how to see God answer prayer. I want to share the recipe with you today. I call this never having unanswered prayers. I'll promise you, God will answer your prayer. Now, listen to this statement. Not having unanswered prayer does not mean you get everything you want. But you never have to go without having God answering your prayers. Say why? Because sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says, I got something different for you. Hang on. But sometimes God says, I'll give you even what you want. Let me give you a little recipe that will help you. Number one, and I want you to listen very carefully here. Have a time and a place to prepare to pray. Have a time and a place to prepare to pray. There are times I just bow my head and pray. Say when? In about an hour, hour and a half when I sit down to eat. Amen. I don't have to prepare to pray. The food's already prepared. Lord, bless the food to my body. Amen. Let's eat. Say, do you pray for a long time over food? No, I'm hungry. Good night. There's time to pray for the missionaries later, but it's not when it's time to eat. Amen, fellas. There's time to pray for lost folks, but my stomach's churning, man. It's time to eat. Now, but you need a time and a place to prepare for prayer. Folks, listen to this statement very carefully. If you have a big need, you need to take time and build a case for God. Just like a lawyer would spend time preparing a case to present before a judge, you ought to take time to present your case to the judge of the universe. I take as much time preparing a prayer list as I do a sermon when I have a lot of things or a big need to pray about. You say, what are you talking about? I actually build an outline to pray. I'll use our building situation as an illustration. This is an illustration. I've done it over and over and over and over and over again. My prayer outline for this building was 3 pages of notes. I'll show you how I pray and prepare my case. I put it on paper. Most of the time, every day, I rewrote it. Say, why? Because the needs changed a little bit here and there. And I didn't just scratch it out. I wanted to make sure it was cared for. If you saw my outlines, I work at, I make sure everything's spelled right. I make sure that everything looks right. Now, it's in my handwriting because I do better that way. I'm not one of these fancy people that can type it in and it's all done up on a computer and all that kind of stuff. It would take me 10,000 times longer to do it that way. I'm comfortable this way, don't like it any other way, and this is the way I'm doing it. But I'll promise you, I can't stand misspelled words. I make sure every word is spelled right. I make sure my lines are straight. I make sure everything's just a certain way. You say, why? Because I've got to be comfortable while I'm up here to present it to you. I've got to be prepared to give it to you. By the way, when I pray, I want the same thing for God. I want God to be pleased in what I do. What do you say? I have 5 points on my outline that I build for prayer. Number one, what do you want? Have you told God what you want? So many times we just sit there and ramble on to God. Can I tell you something? God's time's more important than for me to ramble. You think you're going to call the White House and say, I'd like 30 minutes with the president, sit down and just chit-chat. You'd probably get more out of him that way. But, busy people and successful people, they don't just ramble on and ramble on and ramble on and ramble on. There's a purpose. Tell God what you want. I came to God and said, God, I need a building for our church. We were looking at property down by off of Tabler Station Road. Thought we had it. Thought we were ready to get out of this stupid hotel. Amen. And God said, last minute. Oh, back to the hotels we go. Then we thought we were going to get where the old Mountain State University was in the mall. Thought we had everything locked, signed, sealed, delivered. We were already working on curtains. Amen, Mrs. Ecker. We had all the stuff ready to go. We were getting ready to purchase. And the head dude at the mall called back and said, lawyer said, we can't have a church in there. Now what? Back to the hotels. We were all discouraged. You weren't any more discouraged than I was, I'll promise you. I said, God, now what? I was looking. There was some buildings and sections of buildings right behind the Comfort Inn. And I was looking into those buildings. Well, the man that owns this building owns those buildings. I called, and his daughter said, those are kind of spoken for, but my dad has a big warehouse building over by the VA Center. Are you interested? I said, if it's a building big enough for my church, I'm interested. She said, oh, it's plenty big enough. I said, I'll look at it. When can I meet you? She told me. I drove by and went, Lord have mercy. I thought, wow, there is no way. Some of you men were with me. You deacons were with me. We pulled up, and there was chickens in the window out here at the nurse baby nursery area. I'm not kidding. There were 4 chickens on that window ledge. Amen, Brother Buck? I thought, uh-oh. We walked in, and this thing hadn't been lived in a year and a half. And I had originally talked to him about this section over here. There was 6,000 square foot over there and the out where the nurseries are, and these three rooms are over here. I walked in there and thought, Lord, that ceiling's really high. This is going to be exciting. And she said, yeah, there's 4,000 square foot over here. And those doors weren't in there. That door frame was, but, the cutout was there. The door wasn't there. And I looked in and saw this had lower ceilings and better lighting. I said, can I see that over there? Walked in, and the beautiful carpet that you see was even dirtier than it is now. And this has been cleaned twice, believe it or not. Thank God to Joe Lopez and Brother Kistner. And I mean, grease, oil, they were running tow motors all over this thing. Those black spots are tire marks, all right? Those are rubber wheels on fork trucks spots, amen? I thought, well, it's dirty, it's ugly, but this room will fit my need better. I think we'll be more comfortable as a church. I said, do you think your dad would mind if we switched from that room to this room? And he throws in these three rooms here. She said, I'll check with him, but I don't see why not. Then I said, what about this section between there? If I needed to, could I throw a few chairs out there if I needed to grow and put some Sunday school classes? She said, sure, that's common area. You do whatever you got to do. She said, I don't see why you even have to tell us. I said, okay, I won't. I thought, there's no way we could afford this. I called the guy. He said, how much could you afford? I told him, how about $6,000 a month? I thought, I'll start low, go higher. He said, how about $5,000 a month? And then you pay $1,000 a month on the taxes for the building. I said, where do I sign? Then we began to work on the potential of, you know, I knew the potential of them selling this building, and they started showing this building. And I said, hey, I'm in the building. Why don't you show it to me? He said, you interested? I said, let's talk. And you all know the story. Just a few weeks ago, the deacons and I met with the man that owns this building, and he wanted $2.2 million for this building. By the way, it's worth that plus. He dropped it to $2 million. The bank requires 20% down. That means we need $400,000 down just to get the loan for this building. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, instead of going down to 1.75, if we sell this, or 1.8, he said, if we sell this for two, I'll give you $200,000 cash when you close on your loan. Now we're talking. We're in the process. Hopefully this week we'll get a copy of his part of the lease, and our lawyers will begin looking at it and working on it. And we're getting ready to close this deal up. Say, what is it? Answer to prayer. But I told God what we needed. I'll be honest with you. I didn't pray specifically for this building. I said, God, the building you want. We went through two others. Had we been in the mall right now, we'd be out on our ear, because the company that bought it does not want anything to do with anything that's considered a 501c3. We'd have been out the next day. God knew what he was doing. Number two, what do you want? Number two, why do you want it? Why do you want what you want? When you pray, you ought to tell God why you want it. I remember walking through this building saying, God, if you give us this building, we're going to see people get saved. We're going to see lives get changed. We're going to see drunkards come out of the degradation of drink. We're going to see people who are addicted to drugs get their lives changed. We're going to see families put back together. We're going to see families that rear their kids for God. And God, that's why we need this building. We're going to have activities for children and activities for teenagers and activities for adults. And we're going to be able to build our lives around a New Testament church. And God, we need a building for that. We're going to have church picnics. And we had one, amen. We're going to teach the Bible. We're going to teach the Word of God, the King James Bible, the only Bible in this building. And I said, God, that's why we need a building. By the way, that's why we need a building. Number three. This is where it gets harder. Why do you think you should have it. Not only why should you have it, but why do you think you should have it? I remember standing in this building and walking all over this area in this building and the rest of the building that I could get to and saying, God, some liberal church could buy this thing, but nobody's going to get saved. God, I believe if you give it to us, we're going to see more people get saved. I believe your kingdom will be furthered by you giving us this building than if you give it to the liberals or if some business buys it and nobody gets saved because of it. And I said, God, there's got to be a reason we get it. I said, hell's hot and people are dying and going there. We got to have a place to meet so we can reach them. I put it back on God. I said, God, you started this church. I didn't. It's your church, not mine. You got to have a place for your house. I wasn't putting him on the spot, but folks, this isn't my church. This is God's church. He's the head of the church, not me. I said, God, it's your work. You've got to have a place for your people. God, I believe we need it because it's your church, your house, your folks, your things that need done. God, we've got to have a place for that. Number four, why should God give it to you? Ooh. Not only why do you want it, not only what you want, why should you have it, but why should God give it to you? I said, God, your people deserve something. We're tired of going to a hotel and putting up with people drinking on one side of the room while we're preaching on the other. And boy, the drinking stopped as the preaching started, amen. I said, I'm tired of going to a hotel and finding out they don't have our room reserved. I said, I can't just tabernacle this group of people in the wilderness much longer. I said, God, we've got to have a place. By the way, for sale sign went down this week, amen. I said, our community needs it. This part of town has nothing that's independent, fundamental, temperamental, soul winning, independent, Baptist, King James only. We're here. God, we need it here. This county needs it. I said, we're right at the border of two counties. And everything from D.C. is growing out this way. The corridor's already been established and it's coming this direction. I said, God, our area needs it. I said, it's a good location. It's fairly convenient. Now, folks, it wouldn't matter if I put it in your backyard. It wouldn't be convenient for everybody. But it is the most convenient of everything that we could have come across. And I said, God, that's why we should have it. By the way, why should God give it to us? I never prayed and asked God to give us the building for free. I don't have that kind of faith. I said, God, you work out the business end. We thought, fellas, going in, we might get $50,000, $100,000. The guy gave us $200,000. Then he said, I'm going to give you $50,000 cash. And if you put a steeple up on that thing, put my family name on that thing, you can use the rest of the money for whatever you want. I said, give me the check. He's taken $250,000 off the price of this and given it to us as improvements and down payment. That's more than I can ask or think. Now listen very carefully. Then you tell, number five, God's promises to you about it. I said, God, this isn't for me. This is your house. This is not my house. This is your house. This is not my work. This is your work. And I said, God, you promised to bless your people. You promised to bless your work. God, we've got to have a place for it. I said, God, I'd like to prove to an unsaved world that you can work through an independent Baptist King James only church. I'd like to prove the world wrong that once we're knocked down, we don't stay down. I said, God, you've got to prove yourself being God. I said, we could reach more people for you if we had a place for them. Remember how crowded we'd get in that hotel? It was almost getting obscene at times. Say, why? Because we were running out of room. I said, God, I promise you, if you give us a thriving area to work from, we can spare the area from some crime. I really believe that God will bless this area. the community area because of the influence of this church. I believe that. You say, why? Because we're going to teach all those lost people how to get saved and live like Christians, and the crime will go down. Spend time preparing to talk to God. I use that little 5-point outline in preparation for asking God for things in my life. Brother Taylor, when you and I went to the banker, I had my case outlined. I had a page and a half of notes to take to the banker. Folks, I had double that to talk to the God of the universe about this building. Bankers, I guess he's important. He's somebody that's needed, but he's no different than I am. He's a sinner lost on his way to hell in a Methodist church. Talking to the God of the universe, I better be just as prepared as I am to go to any banker. Number one, have a time and a place to prepare for prayer. Can I tell you where most of you fail in your prayer life? You never prepare. Oh, I've got a prayer list. I keep in my pocket these two cards. There's four sides to them. Every day of my life, I look and go through these cards and spend a lot of time. I've got my family, and then I go to the deacons, and I go to the Sunday school workers, and then I go to the nursery workers, and then I go to the special music folks, and then I go to the nursing homes, and then I start praying through every family in our church by name. I have all those here. I keep them right in my pocket. Say why? I have a time where I go through them in their entirety every day of my life. Then when I'm at a stoplight or I'm somewhere or I got a minute or two, I pull them out and I pray extra for some folks. I prepared those and I keep them close to me, but boy, there's other things I pray for than just that. So number one, you need to prepare. Most of your prayer failures are preparation failures. Number two, you ready? You need a time and a place to pray. Here's the second one that's hard. Having a set time and a set place every day to pray. I love the Bible. But may I say this? God said in Genesis chapter 3 that God came down in the cool of the day every day to talk with man. That's prayer. There was a set time every day where Adam and Eve met with God. That's all the way back in the book of Genesis, folks. God set it up with the first man and the first woman, and even before there was a woman, the first man, to meet with man every day, where they could walk and talk together and have sweet fellowship. You need to have a time every day to meet with God. Make an appointment with him. Fellas, ladies, some of you have a long drive to work. Some of you drive, you know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. Some of you drive 2-3 hours sometimes. Do you realize if you drove to work an hour and an hour home, that's 2 hours, other than listening to stupid radio or doing nothing and cussing and swearing at everybody else, cussing and swearing at you where the way they drive, why not use it and pray? Hello. I'm not asking you to get up 2 hours early every day and then go on a 2-hour commute. But I am asking you to have a set time every day that you pray. Maybe it's in the morning before work. I don't suggest doing it late at night because everybody's too tired to do anything. If you work like you're supposed to work, you're going to be too tired to do it at night. At least I am. I don't know where this came up where you think that prayer, you have to be on your knees to pray. Folks, I don't pray on my knees as much as I pray in other ways. Most of the time I'm walking when I pray. Most of the time you say why? Number one, physically it's too hard on me. I've got no cartilage left in that knee and that hip's just about gone and it doesn't work real well. There's times I will get on my knees before God in an act of submission and say, oh God, I've got to have this. And God, I'll show you, there's times I'm laying prostrate with my face down, begging God in an act of submission, but most of my prayer is while I'm upright, walking, moving, or praying, or driving. Say, why? Because you don't have to be on your knees to pray. I think you ought to make it the same place every day. You ought to have a place to pray. Is there any place that you would consider your prayer place? The old timers, you all know what I'm talking about. They used to call it your prayer closet. That little place of privacy where it was just you and God. I'm not saying you clear out the closet and go into a closet. And by the way, that doesn't mean for the sodomites either. I wish they'd go back in their closet and lock the door. Amen. But maybe it's a certain room or a certain chair or a certain drive or a certain walk. And every day it's the same. Say, what do I do? That's when you take your lists out, take your case out, and plead your case to the judge of the universe. And by the way, you ought to have strict adherence to that time. Nothing should come between it. Now, I realize every once in a while with my job, my schedule changes. Some people don't have things scheduled by my schedule. Say, what do you do? I make sure God gets his time. If I've got to be at the hospital at 5:30 in the morning to pray with somebody before they go in, amen, I make sure God gets his time. It might not be that I got up at 3 o'clock to do it, but it might be that I move something else in the schedule to make sure, but his time is most important. His time is most important. Number three, and I'm done. Number one, you need a time and a place to prepare for prayer. Number two, you need a time and a place to pray. This is the key to the whole thing. If you didn't get anything else, listen to this statement. Number three, don't pray for answers. Just make your petition. Don't pray for answers. Just make your petition. Can I tell you why some of you get upset and some of you get bitter with God? Because you expect him to answer you directly. My Bible says in Luke chapter 11, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So many of you are so based on an answer that you're looking for an answer. Some of you have had an answer you never saw. You think, God, I want this particular piano, and if I don't get that piano, you didn't answer me. And God's got something better for you. Some of you have passed up God's blessings because you want only one thing. You want God to be the genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle and he pops out and give you your wish. I don't put God on any limit of saying, God, this is what I've got to have. Let me ask you a question. What right do you have to demand of the God of the universe anything? If you got what you deserved, you'd be burning in hell right now. You don't have any right to say, God, I have got to have this, and you have to do this. You have no right to say that. You have crossed a line with God. When my children need something from me, my kids aren't supposed to come to me as children and say, Dad, you have to do this for me. Say, what are you going to do? I'm not going to do it, are you? My daughter needed some money for the activity the other night. She didn't come to me and say, Dad, you have to provide it for me. Dad, when are you going to do this? Dad? A couple days before the activity, she said, Daddy, do you want me to pay for the activity? I said, no, I'll take care of it. Say, what was that? She was asking. That's prayer. Nighty activity. Daddy, do you need me to talk to Brother Josh and give him some money? I said, I'll take care of it. I reached in my wallet and gave her the money and made her go pay it. Say why? Because she asked. Had she demanded it, it would have been her money, not mine. What makes you think God's any different? You're made in God's likeness. What right do you have to demand of God anything? All my prayers get answered because I don't expect God to answer them. At least answer them the way I want. I do know my job is to ask. It's his job to give. Brother Hawkins, I never have to have an unanswered prayer. All I got to do is keep praying. Brother Taylor, God never not answers my prayer. Because all I got to do is keep on praying. He said, ask and ye shall receive. He didn't say you might. He said, you will. Did you see it? Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Whew. That's just like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same word, folks. Guaranteed. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. Seek and ye shall find. That means if I ask, God will answer the prayer. He may not give me a yes. He might not give me everything I thought I wanted. But let me say this. It's my job to make the case and present it to him. He's in charge of the rest. Jeremiah 33:3, still in the book, folks. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you think 10 months ago, I even knew this building was here? Nope. I said, God, we've got to have a place. I was getting ready to settle for some warehousing and off Tabler Station Road. God said, I got something better for you. Oh, I was disappointed. Boy, then I saw that beautiful property there in the mall. All the parking we could handle, amen. I didn't have to clean parking lots. They had it cared for. Internal, external access. Okay, God, this is it. He said, come on, God. That's not funny, God. Then I saw this old dirty warehouse. I said, you got to be kidding. There is no way, God. Then we sit down to maybe even talk about buying it. $2 million. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money. Then I'm sitting in my office with our five deacons, and the guy says, I tell you what, I'll give you $200,000 cash. I was glad I was sitting down, Brother Buck, because my knees were so weak, I don't think I could have stood up. Say, what was that? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There is absolutely no way any of the other two options we could have ever purchased. Ever. But God made it to where there's potential for us to purchase. By the way, I don't know that we are. We at least have the option available to us. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes you're disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted, but God wanted to give you more. But because you put him on the spot, he won't give you either. I'm never disappointed if God says no. Say why? Because if God says no, he's got something else out there. He just, did you ever look at buying something? Fellas, did you ever look at buying a car? It just didn't work out. Somebody you knew bought the car instead. 3 months later, it fell apart. You said, boy, am I glad I didn't buy that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say why? God was protecting you. You wanted it real bad until you found out it wasn't all you thought it was. You know, I never have to have unanswered prayer. Is all I have to do is pray. Listen to this. That's why you're supposed to pray for your enemies. Can I tell you something? Praying good for your enemy becomes much easier because all you have to do is pray for him. It's God's job to answer. I've had enemies my whole life. I've been in the ministry 25 years. You can go to virtually any state of the union and find one of my enemies, I promise you. I have people that hate my internal organs. You know what? I pray for God to bless them. If he does, good. If he doesn't, that's his problem. I prayed for him. I don't pray for my enemies to be destroyed. I pray for their evil to stop, and I pray for my enemies to get right with the Lord. Then I have to pray for me to get right with the Lord so I don't get angry and bitter. Everybody doing okay? Just being honest. I pray for their health. You know, I don't have an enemy in the world I want to be sick. I don't have an enemy in the world I want God to get them. At one time, that enemy was my friend, usually. That doesn't mean they're bad people. I pray for their family. You know, I don't want them sick. I don't want their family destroyed. I don't want their children destroyed. I have a friend who has become an enemy, who in the last many years got in some trouble. I prayed for him, prayed for his family. Has been for quite a while now, sitting in prison, watching his family trying to hold together. Say, I bet you you're happy. No, I'm sad. I weep for the man. I pray for him. I pray for his family. Say, is he your friend? Yeah. He's also been my enemy. That doesn't make him a bad person. Folks, just because somebody doesn't agree with you makes them your enemy, you live in a pretty shallow life. If that's the case, most of you are an enemy of yourself because you don't even agree with you. Y'all doing okay? I have enemies that aren't even in church and I pray for them. I pray for God to get them back in a church that can help them, help their families. Get them back in church. I have enemies to this day. If they walk through that door, you'd never know they were my enemy. And I'd love on them and I'd pray for them and I'd help them. Say, yeah, but at some point in time they were your enemy. Guess what? God can restore. He saved me and cleaned me up. Guess what? He can clean them up too. It's God's job. It's just my job to pray for them. I just want you to spend some time talking with your God. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to ask him for things. There is one prayer God always answers, and that is of the lost person that needs saved. He's never one time said, I'm too busy to listen to a lost sinner get saved. Never once. Folks, I am not a spiritual giant. And I'll be quite honest with you. My prayer life was the hardest thing for me to conquer. It never made sense talking to somebody I couldn't see. But once I started learning how to get a hold of him, and I started building my cases for him, even an old stupid wash machine and dryer that I didn't have the money to do my laundry in college with, I said, okay, God, I'm going to put you to the test. I don't believe this. I put that stuff in there. I'm thinking, you are going to have a mess on your hands if this doesn't work. Say, what were you going to do? I have absolutely no idea. I guess the tub would have got filled up and we'd have washed them by hand. Amen. I put the soap in, put the clothes in, pushed the button, and it roared to life. I said, well, glory. I praised God during the spin cycle, the load cycle, all the other cycles. Then I thought, hey, stupid, those are wet. You can't wear those. Now what? Well, he did the washer. Dryer's cheaper. I guess might get 2 for 1 tonight. I put them in. I said, okay, God. I got un poquito faith. I need a whole lot, though. I pushed that button. Wow, it came to life. No lie. Cross my heart, hope Brother Logue dies. I had quarters in my pocket one night. I said, I'm going to just try this with quarters in my pocket, see what God will do. He says, I already answered that prayer. You got the money. He said, that's emergency use. Every time I had money, I couldn't do it. Every time I didn't have money, God did it. This went on for months. No lie. One day, my roommate, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Craig, I don't have any money to do my laundry. He said, follow me. He said, what? I said, just follow me. Bring your laundry. Bring your soap. He said, but I said, just follow me. He thought I was going to pay for it. I didn't have money either. I said, put the clothes in. He did. Put soap in. He did. He said, now what? I said, pray. He said, you know what you just, I said, just shut up and pray. He said, I said, just trust me. He prayed. I prayed. I said, push the button. He pushed the button and the thing came to life. I'm not kidding. That man's a pastor in church, Brother Jim Gelhausen in New Jersey. He said, I can't believe it. About 15 minutes later, he said, I don't have the money for the dryer either. I said, hang on. That thing stopped. We went over there. He said, I said, mm-hmm. He put him in. He prayed. I prayed. He pushed the button. It came on. He said, did you tell anybody else this? I said, I've been afraid to, Brother Jim. I said, because every time I don't have the money, it works. But I promise you, you got enough money in your pocket, it won't work. About 6 weeks later, he came back. He said, you know what? You're right. I had quarters in my pocket. And he said, I prayed. It wouldn't work. God's even concerned about a silly wash machine. Say, what did you pray? God, I don't have the money. I can't stink like a mule. I got to have clean clothes for church. I got to have clean clothes for class. I've got to preach. I've got to teach Sunday school. I got to do all those things. And God, I got to have you help me. Built my case. God said, just a silly wash machine and dryer. I can get them to work for you. Folks, every prayer I pray gets answered. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's you don't need that right now. Sometimes it's I got something better out there. But every prayer I have gets answered. It's just my job to pray. Ask and ye shall receive. Every head bowed, every eye closed.